from the campus of New Hope Christian College. Welcome to Words of New Hope.
His lessons are for a lifetime. When you and I are flying at 32,000 feet, we think we're just cruising. We're on top of the world. We got this money, we got this job, we got this car, I got this new stereo, we're the big daddy. Then something happens, our engines sputter, and we start taking a nosedive. And the closer you get to the ground, the more you realize you need God.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message we began yesterday entitled, When You Feel Absolutely Helpless. If you're going through that right now, well, if it's any consolation, you're not the first person to feel that way. In fact, some of the greatest people in the Bible have had that experience. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, When You Feel Absolutely Helpless.
And sometimes hearts of compassion, the only thing you can do is sigh and groan and weep. And the Lord says, I detect that all the way from heaven, and I'll protect you. And the power of God will now move on behalf of His people who cry out to Him. But there will be a protection so that there will be His embrace covering you. What's a powerful prayer? Weeping and sighing. Isn't that interesting? Do you know the Bible says this in the book of Psalms? It says, He even keeps our tears in a bottle. He collects them because He remembers every tear. Sometimes we don't have the eloquence to pray, but we can weep, we can sigh, we can hurt. And the Lord says, I got all of that. I got it. So the first is don't hold out, cry out. Then what? Well, after you know that your heart is completely pure before God and you're just crying out saying, Lord, I just got to tap into your power. I don't know what to do. The second thing is, if you think about it, like when I had my hand stuck in the window, you know, God had already spoken to me. And a lot of times it is my compromise. It's my vetoing. It's my stepping over a few of the things that God is ignoring, these little promptings that find me painted into the corner and helpless. And I look at that and the Lord says, remember all the things that I've been saying to you? Start doing them. In other words, here's what He's saying. I'm going to teach you out of this one helpless situation. I'm going to teach you lessons for a lifetime. So the second thing is not only cry out to God, but would you then write in number two, now obey exactly what He's already said. What? Yeah, He's already. If you think about it, the Lord will have spoken all kinds of things to us that we've ignored, the silent, gentle promptings for weeks, maybe months, and maybe years. And all of a sudden, bang, we're painted into a corner and absolutely helpless. Happened with the children of Israel. They come up to Marah. Some are grumbling. Moses cries out to God. And then they start to say to Moses, Moses, you're going to kill us. This is what we're doing. We're going to die right here in the wilderness. There'll be a massive grave here because all of us have died. And then God, as Moses is crying out to God, watch this. He doesn't answer the people, but He answers the one who cries out to Him, Moses. And this is what happens. Let's read what Exodus 15:25 says. Go. The Lord showed him a tree, and He threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Now, we don't know if it's some kind of herb or some type of bark or branch that neutralized acid or whatever it was, but God showed him a tree. Now, I want you to notice, it does not say here, God invented on the spot a tree. It doesn't say, and God created a tree, immediately formed. No. God transplanted a tree. No. God formed a tree right then and there. No. God had one magically appear. No. It said, God what? Showed him. That means that tree had already been there. Do you know, a lot of times the very answer to what we think we're so helpless about is something God has already put into us. We already know. It's just that we, like the people, sometimes are so involved in grumbling about what we don't have, it makes us blind to what we do have. We grumble so much about what we don't have. It causes us to be blind to what we do. And God showed him a tree. He says, the answer's always been there. It's always been under your nose. But because of your compromise and because of the things that you have put off and ignored, now you're painted into a corner. Now you feel helpless. But I want you to, you know what you're coming out's going to be started from, it's going to be ignited from, your healing is going to be ignited by. Not the things what you don't have. Would you write it in your first bullet? Start with what you have, not what you don't have. Start with what you have, not what you don't have. Oh, I don't have anything, Just like Job, when Job got completely wiped out, his family was wiped out, his flocks were wiped out, his farm was wiped out. He had nothing left. You know what the Bible says? He shaved his head, tore his clothes, he fell down and worshiped God. And he said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked am I going to be when I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he worshiped God. What? Yeah, when everything was wiped out, what did he start with? The only thing he could do. What was that? Oh, I can worship God to start with that. Start to do something positive. Don't sit in your soup of bitterness. What do you have? Start to move in a positive way. Daniel was in a lion's den, absolutely helpless. What could he do? Well, I'm not a lion tamer. What can you do? I can pray. Pray. Daniel is still known today as a man who prayed, and God used that to deliver him. Joseph, absolutely helpless, put in prison. It was a false, trumped-up charge. And the powers that were in charge, and there's nothing he could do, absolutely nothing. What can you do, Joseph? I don't know. I can wipe tables here. This table needs to be wiped. Good, start there. Just start serving. Because you see, that's what I told you in the beginning. Joseph, wherever I put you, serve me. And so he began serving God because that's what he could do. That's what he did have. And he started something positive. And you know what? The warden saw that. He put him in charge of that whole dorm. And then he saw it more and he put him in charge of the whole prison. And the Pharaoh saw it and put him in charge of the whole nation. You understand, start with what you have, not what you don't have. Because you can sit in the bitter waters of Marah the rest of your life complaining and grumbling about what you don't have and what got taken away from you. And the Lord says, I can show you a tree and you throw it in there and it's taken care of. Start with what I've already said to you. What is it that you can do that will begin a positive movement? Because you see, if you start with that, I can leverage off of that. But if you don't do anything, you're just going to be set with bitterness, and you'll grumble, and you'll be blind to what you have. Start. Cry out to God and find out what has God already said to me. And start with what you already have. Because you see, would you write your next bullet? The lessons you're about to learn when you're at moments of helplessness, his lessons are for a lifetime. Write that in, not just an event. Those lessons you're about to learn are for a lifetime. Now you got to watch this. So I'm going to share with you something that's going to be an important life principle that we find out of Exodus and we can apply to our everyday life. When you and I are flying at 32,000 feet, we think we're just cruising. We're on top of the world. We got this money. We got this job. We got this. We got this car. I got this new stereo, my brand new nano iPod. We're on top of the world. We're big cheese. We're the big daddy. And then something happens and our engines sputter and we start taking a nosedive. And the closer you get to the ground, the more you realize you need God. You ever notice the closer you get to death, the realer God is? Is that more real? See, I don't know. God comes more real for you. That's better, yeah. God comes more real. And you get closer. Isn't that true? Because you think you're on the top of the world, and then bang, you get into an accident. You're on a gurney going into surgery. And it's like, oh, God, I love you. When you didn't even know him before. Something happens to your heart the closer you get to earth. Now watch this. When you're pulling up as hard as you can, and you're praying with all your might and confessing all your sins because you know you're dead. And then God lets your belly just scrape earth. And you're pulling up, God. Now, at this moment, when you're scraping earth, trying to pull up, fighting the G-forces, trying to pull up again, knowing you're going to die without his mercy. During this time, he starts teaching you lessons. Isn't it true when you're going in for heart surgery or you thought you were this invincible person and something happens? And you're sick as can be. You have to cancel all your appointments. And you realize all of a sudden how finite and frail you are. And you know what? After a while, nothing matters except you and God. And you're laying there and you're saying, God, I need to. And he just runs your life before your eyes. I need to be kinder to this person. I need to be a better spouse. I need to be a better dad or mom. I need to be a better son or daughter. Lord, I got to change this. I got to change. And all these lessons are learned when you're that close to death. And then you know what? God pulls you up when you start to cry out to God. And then right about here, put television on pause, suspended animation. You know what God says? Wayne, when you're back flying at 32,000 feet, don't forget the lessons you learned here, because these are lessons for a lifetime. And the only way your heart is able to receive these is when you're that close to death and you feel absolutely helpless. If I could have done it in any other way, I would, but some people's hearts are hard to change. And I bring you that close when you feel so helpless. And then I teach you lessons about priorities in life, what values really are about, your faith and your eternity. And now when you're cruising back at 32,000, don't forget, because the lessons you learn when you feel absolutely helpless are not lessons just for an event. They're lessons for a lifetime. And then when you're cruising back here, don't be like Pharaoh. Because when Pharaoh would have a plague on him, he would repent, and as soon as I would relent and change that and bring it back to normal, he'd harden his heart again. And then another plague would happen. Oh yeah, whatever you want to do. And then I'd remove the plague, harden his heart again. He says, don't do that, because the lessons that I'm teaching you are for a lifetime. And when the Egyptians kept hardening their heart, it brought upon them death. And even yet till this day, they struggle as a nation. And I'm wondering if it's just built into some of our DNAs until we repent, or if we hold out. I'm wondering if some of the consequences aren't from generation to generation because we hold out on God rather than cry out. And then he said this to the people. Now, if I teach you lessons and you start to cruise back, don't forget those lessons that you learned here when your belly was rubbing against the ground. Those are lessons for a lifetime. Now institute them into your life and live them when you're up at 32,000 feet. Because if not, you know the diseases that came on the Egyptians and the death and the problems, that'll happen to you too. In fact, he says it this way. Let's read the scripture. Go. If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. So here it is. You're rubbing your belly. God teaches you lessons. When you start to fly, he says, now, I'm going to restore you, but don't forget those lessons, because in moments of helplessness, that could be the greatest classroom you'll ever have gone through. If you miss those lessons, you'll go through them again and again until one day you will crash because you hold out rather than cry out. When you feel helpless and finite, listen to what he's already said. Establish them as the voice of the Lord so that when you're cruising again, you're changed forever. Because you may feel helpless, but there's one who never is, and he's there to teach you. But number three is, here's something that all of us will need to remember. You say, well, Wayne, will things turn out right? Yeah, they will, but it will not often turn out the way you expect them to turn out. Your definition of right. Well, it'll be right, but it won't always be your definition. So be careful lest you become discouraged, because God's ways are not always our ways, but they are the better ways. So number three, would you write down? So leave the results up to God. Leave the results up to God. Because God is going to, in those moments of helplessness, test you. Oh, not in a school way, but when you're testing metal, what you're doing is, if there's some dross still in the metal, you turn up the fire and you're testing the metal. And what you're doing is you're removing the last ounce of dross, the last gram of dross, until it is approved sterling, genuine silver. And they test it again and again and again and again and again until they make sure it's pure silver. And God does that with us. Watch, when your belly is rubbing the ground, you feel absolutely helpless. You know what? A lot of times the last vestige of pride or arrogance in me is extracted. He's testing me. That's the only way he can extract that stuff out of me. And then if I'll cry out to God rather than hold out, hold on to bitterness and drink from that bitter water, he'll bring me up and I'll be a different person. And so you got to leave the results up to God. And that's what he says here in Exodus 15. Let's read the scripture. Go. And there he made for them a statute and regulation. And there he... Yeah, because you see, his ways are different from ours. And what we expect isn't always what he does, but his way is best. Let's read the last scripture and you'll see. Go. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Will it turn out right? But not always the way you expect it to. But you've got to trust him for the results. You see, some people ask about my upbringing, and it wasn't a real shiny, nice family, nuclear family kind of upbringing, leave it to Beaver, father knows best household. Many of you know I was raised in Palola Valley, and at an early age, there was a messy divorce. They split our family up. Half of us went to live in Japan, half stayed here. We lived with a blended family that had no adhesive to it. We just couldn't glue in. And so then, little by little, things kind of went bad. My father was extremely strict as a disciplinarian to us. And at 13 years old, I had a suitcase in my hands, put on a Greyhound bus 500 miles away. I was on my own. Became sexually abused on the way and in a bus stop, and it was a horrible, horrible upbringing. And then I remember my mom was here dying. She wrote me a letter, "Wayne, come home, mommy's dying." She was at St. Francis Hospital. I was at boarding school at that time, and I called my dad and said, "Dad, send me home. Mom said she's dying." And because there was such an anger between them, I remember my dad's response. He said, "Your mother's lying to you. That way she can get your emotions going, and I pay for your way back to Hawaii. Then she keeps you there, and that's how she'll get me to pay for your fare back, by using this stuff." 2 days later in my algebra class, I get a telegram, "Your mother just died." You understand, I drank the waters of Mara, and I was bitter at my dad. I went deep into all kinds of drugs, and thank God a few years later, the Lord brought me out, kind of brought me out of that nosedive. And I received Christ, and my heart was changed, and all kinds of things began to happen. He just washed me and scrubbed me up. Now, let me fast forward the tape, and I look at what God has taught me. And the times when people would say, "It can't be done." For some reason, I looked and I said, "No, it can be done. No, it's impossible." I said, no, it's possible. And I was like, where do I get that kind of, that I'm able to see stuff when people cannot? The perseverance or an endurance or a consistency or just stick-to-itiveness. Where did all that come from? When people say, "Wayne, do you disparage? Are you upset about? Do you regret your upbringing?" I look back on it now and I say, you know, it wouldn't be my ideal, and I felt helpless during that season, but you know what? I am satisfied with the way God chose to bring me up. Because a lot of the lessons I've learned and am today was learned in moments of desperate helplessness where he extracted everything out of me, and I learned a lifetime of lessons during that time. Now, I could have held out and drank more of the water of bitterness and become a bitter man, but thank God for his grace. And he pulled me up and washed me clean and said, "Those lessons that you learn can either destroy you or they can be a lesson for a lifetime. You choose. You choose." Did I feel helpless? Absolutely. Am I the only one? Millions of others, plus one whose name is Jesus, who was in the Garden of Gethsemane and was on his knees. And he was bleeding, not from his fingertips, he was bleeding from his brow because of the pain that was on the inside. And remember him crying to God, "God, if there's any way that you can remove this cup from me," in other words, "if there's any way you can accomplish this redemption thing without me having to do this and going to the cross, if there's any way that you can remove this cup, please do." Do you remember him stopping? And he said, "But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." You know what he was saying? "I'm satisfied with the way that God has chosen for me to live my life. And I'll be fine. And I will not drink the waters of Mara. I will instead cry out to God, and he'll heal the waters of Mara." See the difference? Will you feel helpless? Absolutely. But during those times, those lessons are not for an event. Those are lessons for a lifetime. And when you come through, you can say, "My God knows best. I leave the results to Him. I will do what He asks, and even when I feel helpless, I follow the One who is all-powerful. That makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to bow our heads. Would you pray with me as we conclude? With your heads bowed, there'll be some of you that might be here and say, you know, Wayne, that's my story. I feel like God is kind of clearing the decks so I can see heaven. I need to know Jesus because God knows I need forgiveness and I need a new beginning. Lord, would you open my heart to receive you as Lord and Savior? Because God, you know I need you more than anything else. And with the things that have happened in my life, I've come to the realization that I desperately need God. I am not someone that's invincible. I am someone that is in desperate need of the Lord. And now is a moment where you can talk to God and say, Lord, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. God may have prepared not only this moment, but your lifetime for this moment. So that you'll say yes to Him who is all powerful. The One who said, I am. The One who gives purpose to our helplessness. And when we say, yes, Lord, I receive you as Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to walk with you. Everything begins to change because you've given God permission to move in your life. But He'll wait for your decision. If that's you and you say, Wayne, I want to make that decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to say yes, because God knows I need forgiveness and a new beginning. If that's you, would you right now just raise a hand, and in doing so, you're saying, yes, I want to receive Christ. Yep, okay, yeah, all right. Yep, all right. Okay, on the side, yep. Raise your hand if that's you. You say, Lord is speaking to me. Okay, yeah, yep, all right, all right. The Lord sees those many hands, okay? All right, yeah, in the back, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, you can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, then there's a table out back called a Yes Table, and they want to give you a packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Please just go back there and say, I received Christ today. I said yes to Him, and they'll give you free of charge this packet. It'll help you immensely in your first few steps with the Lord. You might be a Christian, you know, and you'd say, Wayne, you know, I've received the Lord, but gosh, I hold out all the time. And I have more of a tendency to drink the waters of Marah than I am to cry out to God. I don't want that anymore. I just don't want that anymore. Lord, would you help my heart? Change my heart. Start today, I pray. I know you will. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Say, yeah, God, that's me. That's me. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Pray this prayer after me, and let's all pray this together, and then we'll do a final song. But let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. You are the One who is called I Am, a God who gives me life eternal. Gives me purpose, even to my helpless times. And you bring me out looking more like you. I open my heart and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so the devil can hear, so people around can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Give somebody a hug on your way out.
Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the Lord.
To a message entitled, When You Feel Absolutely Helpless, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.